ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we bring you episode number 50 of the JMRA podcast. And this will be a special one because for the first time in our little podcast history, we will be doing a WrestleMania preview. So warning right now, if you're not a professional wrestling fan, I don't know what to tell you. But anyhow, we're going to go over the card for Sunday. But first, a few things. You can check out the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Also on Twitter, at joemsrightarm. On Vine as well, if you search Joe Montana's Right Arm. Facebook as well, Joe Montana's Right Arm there. And the Instagram account is kicking alive and well as well, at Joe Montana's Right Arm. Or simply searching J Montana's Right Arm. That's the letter J, then Montana's right arm. So a lot of fun stuff, trying to keep busy as always with social media stuff. Look, as I've said before, just as a disclaimer on this particular program, dude, there ain't nothing going on in the NFL right now. There's nothing. There's even if you try to say there's something going on, you're lying. The funniest thing going on right now is these Tom Brady social media things. Other than that, you get some bizarro signings in free agency. The Patriots signed Terrence Knight into a one-year deal for $4.5 million, which actually might turn out to be a good signing. But there's not a lot of things happening right now in the NFL. Teams kind of still doing their surveying and getting ready and getting into bunker mode as they get ready for the NFL draft. But anyways, I wanted to tape this podcast tonight. And as I'm taping this, it is 2:34 in the morning Eastern Time, in good old New Jersey, and I finished just a little while ago watching the NXT TakeOver show out of Dallas as they prepare for WrestleMania weekend in Arlington and AT&T Stadium, and I gotta say a couple things. Number one, after watching the show tonight, boy, Vince has his hands full on Sunday to follow that act from what NXT put out this evening. The three big takeaways out of the show. Number one, Nakamura making his debut as a part of the NXT and WWE family and defeating Sami Zayn in one of the great matches of the year. Just a sensational match. I had never seen Nakamura wrestle. I haven't seen any of his Japan stuff, obviously, and getting a chance to see him and kind of coming in with a blank slate, if you will. That was pretty refreshing. You don't get that often nowadays because of everybody's exposure, and normally the guys these days are coming from TNA, as we found out in a sense a little bit later on in this show. But it was great seeing a guy who was kind of refreshing your palate on wrestling, and the King of Strong Style, as he was known, delivered. Man, that was a hard-hitting, bruising match, and man, that's a guy you just got to let him be. Leave him alone. Let him do his own thing and see where it goes, because the fans were into him. The fans will be into him. Very charismatic. Going to be very hard to keep him off the main roster, so that'll be pretty interesting. The saddest match of the night actually was the next match right after that. Bayley losing the NXT women's title to Asuka. Asuka has been undefeated since joining and being signed by the WWE for NXT, and she got Bayley to, I don't want to say tap out, because that's not what happened, but Bayley basically passed out from the pain, and there's some sentiment that she is heading up to the main roster. We know Sami Zayn, obviously, is on the WrestleMania card. Man, I'm a little nervous about Bayley going to the main roster, because her character is about a step or two away from being badly misused by Vince McMahon, and I certainly hope that they use her correctly. She has the opportunity to make a boatload of money for that company with her appeal to little kids. I mean, you got to bring her in the right way, and I certainly hope that they do that. I was actually thinking she was going to be named as a part of that 10-woman tag that they're now scheduling for the pre-show. Apparently, there was some talk about bringing her up and getting her involved in that match, and I think Vince wanted her in that match, but Triple H instead opted for Ava Marie to be in that match because it made more sense, which it does if you look at the template of that match. And I'm glad, actually, Bayley in retrospect is not a part of that match. I would suspect that she will be factoring into the aftermath of what is going to happen with the WWE Divas title match, which we'll get into in a little bit. And then to close out the night at NXT TakeOver Dallas, Finn Balor topped Samoa Joe in a weird, weird match. The match itself was pretty good, but Samoa Joe and Finn Balor accidentally headbutted each other early in the match and about less than a minute in, and that caused a severe cut on the right eye of Samoa Joe, and the trainers kept having to come out and wipe the blood off and try to clean the cut and stop the bleeding, and it just kept interrupting the flow of the match. Having said all that, I mean, what a fantastic night of matches. I did not mention American Alpha winning the NXT tag titles as well. So really a cool, cool show, and a show where I think, man, just from the wrestling quality, going to be tough for WWE to top that on Sunday. That where WWE will get you is just the spectacle of WrestleMania and the number of people they're going to put in the building, which apparently, listening to Ric Flair's podcast earlier on Friday, there's some talk that they're going to get 96,000 in there. I don't think they're going to get 100,000, but 96,000 would be pretty immense. Okay, let's get into the WrestleMania card itself. And this isn't going to be one of these hour-long podcasts. We're just going to see kind of where it goes. The pre-show, there are three matches on the pre-show now. They've been shuffling in and out the matches, and that's a part of, I guess, a larger issue that they're having. Something is going on. I don't know what it is, but there's something big, or at least in their view, relatively important, is going to take place, because a couple of things happen here with this card. Number one, they originally had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal scheduled for the pre-show, and it got bumped off and moved into the actual show. The other factor in this is that WWE asked pay-per-view carriers, what's left of them anyways, to grant them some extra time for the show on Sunday. Which, again, considering that the show is 4 hours long, the main show, that's pretty weird that they would ask for that. And to my knowledge, they've never asked for that before. So that is making for some interesting situations heading into the show. But anyhow, with the pre-show U.S. title match, Kalisto, the champ, against Ryback. Here's the thing about this match and the card as a whole, to be honest with you. Remember, you've got a pay-per-view on May 1st, so I don't think they're going to flip all the titles. I think they'll flip strategically a few of them. This one right here, I think, will be a win for Kalisto. I don't think they're going to flip the title here. I think they're going to wait until next month in Chicago for Payback. Then you have the 10-woman tag, Team Bad and Blonde versus Team Total Divas. I mean, you can just Google it if you want to know the names. I mean, it's basically it's Team Bad along with Summer Rae and Lana taking on Brie Bella, as well as Natty Neidhart, Eva Marie, who is in the mix as well, Paige and Alicia Fox. So it's like all Team Diva or whatever, and that's what they're doing. I mean, I'm not a big fan of that match. I'm actually kind of glad it's not on the main show. I was hoping they'd give us a Brie Bella Lana one-on-one match, but then as we know with WrestleMania, there's so many people involved with the show, they like to get a lot of people paid on the show and getting them on the show. Also, the Usos taking on the Dudleys as a part of the... Oh, let me go back for a second. Team Bad and Blonde versus Team Total Divas. I would suspect the winning pinfall will be scored by Brie Bella. Apparently, she's going to be on the way out. And if that's the case, normally you'd see somebody lose. I think in this case, I think she's going to win the match to help promote the Total Divas brand and kind of carry things out from there for her. As for the final match of the pre-show, the Usos versus the Dudleys, man, this feud looked kind of interesting at first, but it has lost significant steam for a variety of reasons, which involve the main event, which we'll get to later on. But I would think here, you know, you want to get the crowd into this early, so I would think you'd have to go with the Usos grabbing the victory there. So that sets the table for the main show. And we're going to go here in, not in order of what the show will be, because who knows? I mean, I'm sure there is some hand-wringing and consternation over what's going to go on last. In fact, I blogged about it earlier, that it was reported that the main event will be Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker, which if that is the case, they definitely have some chicanery up their sleeve with that match, because I can't imagine Shane is going to be able to last, you know, 20, 25 minutes with The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. I just think he's going to get too winded. But anyhow, back to the point. The first match we'll take a look at is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Instead of running down the umpteen numbers of names, a couple things to remember here. There are four people that are unannounced for this Battle Royal. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Cesaro is rumored to be coming back. Apparently he's healthy again. I kind of like him as my dark horse to win it. I still think they're going to cop out and give it to one of the Wyatts, because the Wyatts are just... they're just everywhere. They're everywhere you don't want them to be at this point in time. So I look for Braun Strowman to get the win, and then they'll set up whatever push for the Wyatt family they're going to set up, and they may interfere in a match later on in the show. Chris Jericho and AJ Styles, another battle between those two. AJ Styles will get his WrestleMania moment and grab the win. Now, this is where things start to get very interesting. So, the New Day, the WWE Tag Team Champions, taking on the League of Nations in a 3-on-4 handicap match. So, it'll be the New Day and their three members against four members of the League of Nations. One of the rumors circulating about this particular match is maybe this is a spot where The Rock gets involved. The Rock will be at the show. We do know that. But as far as what capacity he'll be involved with, I think is certainly very up in the air. But this is one of the spots where some people have thought maybe he would get involved, and he doesn't have to get his hands too dirty versus what might have to happen in the main event. So I look for the New Day to get the win there, and maybe, just maybe, with some assistance from The Rock to kind of even things out. No holds barred match, Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. For God knows what reason, I don't quite get this. The WWE is booking Dean Ambrose like he's the biggest star in the company, as far as a good guy goes, which is really weird considering all the effort and energy they've put into Roman Reigns. Man, it just looks like they're making Ambrose out to be the bigger star. So that makes the call on this match pretty interesting. And I can't see Brock Lesnar losing a no holds barred match to Dean Ambrose. I can't see it. I mean, maybe it'll happen, but there is a way to tell this story without getting your wires crossed, if you will, or getting things jammed up. I think this is a situation where Lesnar's got to get the win, but you do it in a way where Ambrose comes out of it as a hero. And unfortunately, one of the rumors about this match that's circulating is this is where the Wyatts may interfere. A lot of people have interference going on in these matches and stuff. I don't think you're going to get a boatload of that. Remember, they got to set up the next big show, which is May 1st Payback in Chicago. So I don't think they're going to go super buck wild with the results here on the show. I think you'll see some surprises. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They have to do that. But in this match, I see Lesnar going over with assistance from the Wyatt family. Maybe some type of error or mistake by the Wyatt family that costs Ambrose the match. The 7-person Intercontinental title ladder match between Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, Sin Cara, and Stardust. I like Kevin Owens to win this match somehow. I'm not sure. Well, we all know it's a ladder match, and he's going to have to climb the ladder and do his business and take it from there. But this is definitely one of those injury matches where this match is probably not where they wanted it to be, but because of the injuries to the company, they really didn't have much of a choice at all. I would just, again, to me, there's only two ways you can go here, and that's either with Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens. I think in light of what happened on Friday at NXT TakeOver, I think you have to be pretty careful with Sami Zayn's character, because yeah, that's the problem with WWE. Like, we saw it a little bit with Bayley tonight in that match against Asuka. Like, you don't want to keep jobbing people out in the company and then trying to introduce him to probably a different type of crowd and expect him to get over. It's tough. It's very tough to make that happen. So interesting dynamic there in that rundown. But I would say probably Owens or Zayn gets the Duke. Maybe you go Owens again and then turn Owens Zayn into a singles match at the next pay-per-view or next WWE Network special, depending on what you prefer to say. Now, the biggies. First up, the WWE, not to say that Ambrose Lesnar isn't big. That's huge in its own right. But the big three I have circled for interest perspective. WWE Divas title match, Charlotte defends against Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. Boy, I'll tell you what. If I were booking this, I think there are two ways to go with this result. And I don't think they're going to do either. I think either you put the belt on Becky Lynch, because you got to do something meaningful with her at some point. Like, there's too much stuff where these folks are losing all these high-profile matches. Eventually, they're going to get tired of it. So I think you have to make something out of Becky Lynch, because she's the one that really hasn't been to the mountaintop yet. And I think it might be maybe not a bad idea to do that. I think if you don't want to do that, then Charlotte retains. Because to me, there is some value in Charlotte versus Sasha, with Charlotte as the champ and Sasha chasing her all the way to payback on May 1 in Chicago. Granted, it's not the flashy women's Divas title champ. Well, they're actually changing the name, so I'll call it Women's Championship. The women's title match. You look at how things may play out there. It's going to be a very good match, I think, but you look at it, and I think that's the way to go. I would put the belt back on Charlotte or give it to Becky. I think those are the two best options, but the word on the street is they kind of like going with Sasha Banks here, which, hey, I don't blame them one iota. She's going to be a huge star. So, I mean, I guess my point is none of these three are the wrong answer. Now, the question is, where do you go from here if Becky were to win? Who knows? Where do you go if Charlotte wins? Well, you would think there will be a one-on-one match in Chicago. If Sasha wins, you would think there's going to be a one-on-one match in Chicago with Charlotte. So I think that's where they're kind of at with things. But should be a great match. Now, my super-duper conspiracy theory of WrestleMania involves this match, this next match. This is the Hell in the Cell match for control of Raw. It'll be Shane McMahon taking on The Undertaker. So this is what I think. It's pretty evident if you watch the show intently. You watch Raw, like watch it a fair amount when Shane is doing stuff. And you'll see my man gets gassed pretty quickly, gets pretty tired. So here's what I'm thinking, okay? Let Shane wear himself out for about 10 minutes, loads up for a big monster spot on The Undertaker. The Undertaker, wherever it is, forces a miss out of Shane. So Shane, at this point, is incapacitated. He can't do anything. They stretcher him off. So it looks like The Undertaker has won. But oh no, my friend. Instead, it's the music of John Cena that blares out over AT&T Stadium. Cena runs out, challenges The Undertaker to a match, beats The Undertaker. The Undertaker is quote-unquote done at WrestleMania until he comes back and tries to rip John Cena's head off for WrestleMania 33 out in Orlando. I think that's the way to go with that match. I think if you have no interference, and obviously The Undertaker can't lose that match, but if you're going to do some weirdo bells and whistles, I think having Cena get involved in that match, I mean, makes just a lot of sense to me. I mean, How could you pass that up? The guy says he's pretty much healthy, and he claims he has been medically cleared to wrestle. So you wonder how some of these guys are going to be used at some point during the show for the guys who are coming back off of injury, who may be able to contribute in some way, shape, or form to some of these other matches. So I look for The Undertaker to lose, maybe not necessarily to Shane McMahon, if that makes sense. And then that will lead, God willing, to some sort of split of the company, and that unto itself will be its own mess. So should be a great time, you know, fun time. And the last match, Triple H with the lovely, and I do mean lovely, Stephanie McMahon in his corner, defending the WWE title against Roman Reigns. Now, a late word on Friday was that there are some posters floating around indicating that the match between Triple H and Roman Reigns will be no disqualification, which would allow for a lot of outside interference to take place, you would think, and maybe, just maybe, lead to Roman Reigns turning heel. I don't know. I mean, I would, again, if you're asking me how would I end this match, I think I would just run a bunch. I would just do it the way they've been doing it, and you got to get through it and try to deal with it from there. I mean, it's crazy to me, like, the fan reaction. Just, guys, relax. I would have him just run through the League of Nations, run through the Dudleys as Triple H's lackeys, and then be done with it. Spear, we're out of there. And that's it. And, you know, you got to deal. You're going to have to deal with the crowds at some point. So, you know, don't let people scare you away from what you're trying to do. I mean, that to me should be the WWE's philosophy. But it seems like they are getting cold feet, maybe, with Roman Reigns. Again. So, I like Roman Reigns to win the match. I think he's just going to steamroll everybody and eventually get the win. And then, you know, you see what happens from there. I know some people think this is a spot for The Rock to come in, but I just don't know, man, how physically involved he wants to, or more importantly, can get involved with all these movies going on. So I think that could very well be a negative factor for him trying to lend some interference into this match. Otherwise, I think you're stuck. I think you got to go with Reigns, play it out, and see how it goes. So, that will do it for our podcast, the JMRA Podcast. Thanks for joining me here wherever and whenever you may be listening to this. By the way, big thanks to my friends out in Spain. Gave us some pretty decent downloads a couple days ago. Much respect to my friends out in Spain. So, thank you very much. I certainly hope you enjoy WrestleMania 32. It will be great. I'm going to have some people over and entertain them, and it's going to be a blast. We have a WrestleMania party every year, so I'm looking forward to that. You can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, at joemsrightarm, on Instagram by searching jmontanasrightarm. All kinds of fun stuff in the social media universe from Joe Montana's Right Arm. Alas, until next time, enjoy WrestleMania and happy football, everybody.